I brought some pictures of my last Christmas in West Virginia. Now, I grew up in Ohio, so this was a very, very, very normal winter. And I'm going to pass one around this side. That's my husband and my oldest dog, Casey, who I've talked about probably before. And you can just see kind of the depth of snow that I was used to for winter. 3 feet of snow on the ground at one time was not common, but yet not unusual. 2 feet, you know, hey, we got that every winter, just about. And I think that getting in the Christmas spirit for me has always been associated with the winter time of year in the north, because that's what I grew up with. You know, to really, truly feel in the Christmas spirit, it needs to be rather cold for me. And so this morning, with the heat kind of turned down and me having goosebumps on, really actually was helping me feel quite Christmassy. The fact that we have had a very cold week and I've had a fire in the wood stove has really helped me feel rather Christmassy. If we could just get some white stuff on the ground, I think, you know, I would be feeling like Christmas was right around the corner. I have to confess that since I have moved to Florida, it has been rather difficult for me to get in the Christmas spirit by the time Christmas gets here. It sneaks up on me. I'm thinking, it's got to be plenty of time away, you know? I'm not even wearing a coat yet. I think some of the signals of Christmas that we associate with come from just those kind of ordinary things that we grow up with. And for me, Florida has been a very difficult place to feel the presence of Christmas because I associate it with a certain time of year. Well, I found out in doing some reading that there is a place that actually would be even more difficult for me to get in the Christmas spirit, and that would be Australia. Now, have you all, you know, from the Olympics being in Australia this year, I'm sure you all learned lots about Australia from following the Olympics. And one of the things that you probably learned is their seasons are exactly the opposite of ours. December, January, and February, the dead of winter here. They're the middle of summer there. I mean, that is beach season. I mean, where are you going to be on December 25th? Out, laying out the sun, getting a tan, going for a swim. Talk about a place that would seem backwards and upside down for a Christmas for me. You all might find yourselves adjusting a little quicker. And in fact, Christmas is so different in Australia, falling in the middle of summer, that many of the carols and songs that we sing don't fit real well. In the bleak midwinter, rarely fits as a good Christmas carol in Florida. I don't think it would ever fit as a good Christmas carol in Australia. And so the Australians have written their own Christmas carol. It's called Carol Our Christmas, and it goes like this. Carol Our Christmas. An upside-down Christmas. Snow is not falling. The trees are not bare. Looks familiar to me. Carol the summer and welcome the Christ child. Warm is our sunshine and sweetness of air. Carol our Christmas. An upside-down Christmas. Snow is not falling and trees are not bare. Carol the summer and welcome the Christ child. Warm is our sunshine and sweetness of air. Sing of the gold and the green and the sparkle, water and river and lure of the beach. Sing in the happiness of open spaces. Sing a nativity summer can reach. Shepherds move over hillsides, finding not angels but sheep to be shown. Wise ones make journeys, whatever the season, searching for signs of the truth to be born. Right side up Christmas belongs to the universe, made in the moment a woman gave birth. Hope is the Jesus gift. Love is the offering, wherever, anywhere, here on the earth. It's odd the things we associate with Christmas. I tend to associate snow and cold. We associate trees and candles. And in a study they did, asking even just a group of Christian people, what was the most important thing about Christmas? Christian people most often answered, getting together with family. It's interesting the things we associate with Christmas. We associate Christmas as a special time of year where everything is put right, if just for a moment. But this morning, I would like us to look a little closer at the biblical story of Christmas. Because you see, with Christmas coming, as it's told in the scriptures, it really doesn't turn everything right side up. It really turns everything upside down. Christmas is coming, the angel said, as he appeared to Zechariah and said, you and your wife, I know you're late in years, I know you're past childbearing, but you're going to have a child. Well, everybody knows a child will always turn your life upside down. But if you talk to my mother, who at 47 had her last child, some of you know that there's times in life when it could get turned even more upside down. And that's just what happened to Elizabeth and Zechariah. To make matters worse, Zechariah is struck completely dumb by the experience. He can't speak and won't be able to speak until the promise is fulfilled. So there Elizabeth is, hiding in seclusion for 5 months, pregnancy late in life, with a husband who can't even talk to her about what is going on. And neighbors, oh, can you just imagine the neighbors? What their tongues must have been wagging about. Certainly, the prophet who would announce the coming of Christmas had turned their world upside down in the announcement he would be coming to them. And then there's Mary. I hear older people talk about younger people all the time in kind of disparaging ways. Now, I know none of you would do that here. But there's certain people in the older generation who can just get that right click to their tongue and that right roll to their eyes and think of these younger folks. They get everything wrong. They have babies and then they get married. Now, what kind of mess is that? Well, it's the same kind of mess Mary was in. Can you just imagine? I mean, here is a young woman about to be married to Joseph. Thinking about setting up house, thinking about being a wife, thinking about someday having kids together. And then the angel comes and turns it all upside down. She's going to get the kid first. And not only that, it's not going to be Joseph's. And not only that, but somehow, some way, this incredible special baby is going to be her Lord. Babies always turn your world upside down, I hear. I don't know anybody who has a child who doesn't say, life has never been the same. They bring so many wonderful things. But they bring such incredible changes. And this particular child was going to change the world. Do you know what one of the earliest complaints about the church was? Do you remember in Acts how they say, you know, the problem with the church is these people are turning the world upside down. The prophets, the disciples would come in and they would minister to people and they would accept Christ and they would be changed. People who were making money off of making little gods to stick in people's houses were losing money. People who were making money off of taking advantage of people were losing money. It was not good for the economy. It was turning the world upside down. In fact, the scriptures are full of people whose encounter with God is not the beginning of a nice, easy, peaceful flow in life. But it's the beginning of everything being turned on its head. I mean, you think about Moses in the Old Testament. Now, Moses had kind of a rough beginning, but he was finally, you know, had a wife, had a home, had some sheep, was doing pretty well. 80 years old, probably getting ready for retirement. God comes along in a burning bush and turns his whole world upside down. No early retirement for Moses. Next thing he knows, he's leading a nation and dealing with all of the problems involved. Think about the disciples. There's James and John and Peter. All have pretty decent fishing business. It looks like from Scripture that James and John were in the fishing business with their father, looking to inherit it, doing pretty well. Next thing you know, they're following Jesus. Their whole world turned upside down. Now, Peter had a wife. We don't talk about that very much, but it's Peter had a wife, and there are actually places, if you look in Scripture, where Paul in his letters talks about, you know, I could travel with a Christian wife like Peter does if I wanted to. And you go, you mean Peter and his wife traveled around together to do the ministry? That's not something we talk about very often. But you think about them as a couple. Peter in a nice fishing industry, them in a nice house. Next thing you know, they're traveling the world, their life in danger. Meeting God doesn't seem to smooth things out. It seems to shake things up. It seems Mary knew this from the very beginning. Did you hear her words as she responded to what Elizabeth said? Did you hear the hymn of praise that she sang? It certainly is a carol of an upside-down Christmas. And I'm not sure it's one I enjoy hearing, because it talks about everything getting turned on its head. The rich going away empty. The powerful brought low. And if I'm really honest, I would really have to admit that one of the reasons that this kind of picture of an upside-down Christmas is probably not as comfortable for me and wonderful for me as it was for Mary is I've got a lot more to lose. You see, if I'm honest, I'm among the rich and the powerful. I'm among those who really needs my world turned upside down. And Mary sang, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliest of servants. Surely from now on, generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. The fact that encountering God turns our life upside down hasn't changed. Will Willimon tells a story about being on campus at Duke. And a young student that was so excited about a young woman he had met. And that they were going to be going on the same mission trip to Honduras. And he was so excited because who knows where this would lead. And you kind of get the idea that this guy thinks, this girl may be it. And maybe through this mission trip, they might become ministers together and be missionaries to the world as a couple. Well, it was sometime after Christmas, and Will Willimon saw this young man again, and this time he was looking rather dejected and sad. He said, you know, what's going on? He said, well, she's not going to Honduras. And he said, you know, what's going on? She doesn't have enough money for the mission trip? She doesn't have enough time to go on the trip? He said, no, it's nothing like that. You see, her sister went on a mission trip last year. And she came home completely different. And it made Mom and Dad rather mad. So there's no way they're risking this one. As Christmas approaches, and we look to that manger, and we look to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, be very careful how close you get. Be very careful how long you look. Because if you really let the meaning of Christmas soak in, you just might find your life turned upside down. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we would ask that you would give us the courage, that we could approach the manger with confidence, that we could kneel down and look in your eyes, and that as the true meaning of Christmas hits us, that we would have the guts to let you turn our world on its ear, to change us, to mold us, to make us over in your image. And that we, like Mary, could be called blessed for believing that you could fulfill such amazing things through us. We praise your holy name. Amen.